All right. Let's pray for the message. Father God, I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear today. Just the most special gift you ever gave us in your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. As Christmas Day approaches and we start getting busier and busier with all the stuff that this beautiful holiday brings, we can get caught up in the busy and lose sight of the main purpose of why we celebrate Christmas. I said it before and I'll say it again. There's nothing wrong with traditions. I love them personally, but we're Christians. And Christians magnify the birth of Christ with thanksgiving in the midst of beautiful family tradition. I wanted to exalt our Lord and Savior specifically through the sermons this month so that when we look at the pretty lights and the Christmas tree, when we exchange gifts with the people we love, and when we sing our favorite Christmas songs, we give thanks to God for our salvation and our freedom in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the birth of our humble King who stepped out of glory to become one of us. A great high priest whose perfect life and blood was sufficient to redeem ours. What a gift God has given us. Eternal life with the Holy God. An active and intimate relationship with the living God right now. And freedom from death and sin that once had us bound. We were dead spiritually. And now because of grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the great I Am, we are secured and sealed by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Today we'll do some thread pulling. From the Old Testament to the New, exalting the great I Am in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get started today. Our first, I have selected texts I'm going to take us through today, but we're going to start in Exodus chapter 3. And here Moses is tending the flock of his father-in-law. He ran from Egypt after he murdered an Egyptian guard that was messing with one of the Israelites, and so he fled Egypt, and he's started a life out in the wilderness, and he's herding the flock, and he sees this bush that's on fire, and so he approaches this burning bush, and God begins to speak to him. Hey, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And he begins to minister to Moses, and we pick it up in verse 11. Because God is saying, hey, I'm going to use you. I am going to give relief to your people, the Israelites. I am going to pull them out of bondage and set them free. And I'm going to use you, Moses. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So we see God, even in the beginning, when he began to build a relationship with, with his people, to build a people, to take a people out and separate them unto himself. He was all about rescuing us. It was about rescuing his people from bondage and setting us free. And he says, and he describes himself as I am. This statement is eternal. There's no beginning. There's no end. I am. God is literally reality. He is reality. He is the truth. And he has no start. He has no end. He is. It's powerful when you think about it. He is. God is. He's always present in existence. Always. He also describes himself as Lord when he says, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers. That word for Lord is a Hebrew verb, and it's four letters. YHWH. It's where we get Yahweh. It's called a tetragrammatron. A tetragrammatron. It means to be. It's literally that eternal, present existence, to be, Yahweh. It's used 6,800 times in the Old Testament. He also describes himself as God. That Hebrew word is Elohim. And that is a plural form, but singular in meaning. Why plural? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Elohim, plural, but one form. Three persons, one God. It all makes sense when you pull the thread. The Lord establishes that he's the center of redemption, and he will be with them just like he's with us. He's assuring Moses, I will be with you. Because Moses is like, I can't do this on my own, like many of us feel. God, you want me to do this? I need you. I'm on my knees in the office every Sunday going, God, I need you. Show up today. You want me to go out there? Fine. But I need you. Let's look. So we see that Old Testament I am declaration of God. So I want to focus today mostly on, well, all on Jesus and the fact that he is the I am. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the great I am. And then I want to look at Jesus as he describes himself through I am statements. We'll start in John chapter 8, verses 53 to 58. And Jesus is having at it with the Pharisees. They're challenging him. They're doing what they do best. They're being religious and they're challenging that this new guy showing up on the scene that's messing with their status, with their, you know, they feel like they're up here and Jesus is preaching to, from what, you know, their perception is Jesus is preaching to the people down here, just ordinary people that are seeking for God, and he is flipping the world upside down with his sermons. So we pick it up in verse 53. And the Pharisees say, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. Ouch. Get him, Jesus. But I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. The thread, the deity of Jesus. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a man from God. Jesus has always been. Everything that was created through him and for him and by him. And we see in this moment, because I didn't have, you know, I'm not going to have time to go through the whole thing, but they want to stone him after he says this. They want to kill him. And we see that everybody is faced with this. You see, many people can even, well, you know, Jesus in a manger, the baby Jesus, oh, come all ye faithful. We'll have the party. We'll celebrate Christmas because he's non-threatening as a baby. But when we get challenged with that baby is God, Jesus Christ is the one true God. No one else comes to the Father except through him. And we'll talk about that. This challenges people. And we either fall on our face in worship or we want to kill him. You see what I'm saying? In our hearts at least, right? But this is exactly what happened to these guys. In that moment, they could have fallen on their face, but their hearts were hardened. They wanted the religious tradition. They wanted the knowledge without the actual surrender. Because if they really knew God, if the scriptures of the Torah had gotten from here to here, they would have fell on their face. Because if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And it's still relevant today. We'll go to the next one. Jesus is comforting his disciples not long before he is to be crucified in John 14. We're going to pretty much stay in John. John does a great description of all of these. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered and let me give you the background. He's showing up. Lazarus has died. Martha and Mary are weeping, and Martha runs out to Jesus and she's crying. If you had been here, you know, Lazarus is dead. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And she's sad because he's dead. And Jesus answered her and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. This is a bold statement. Either Jesus is crazy or he's God. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life that you seek. I am the way to life. With the living God. I am the truth of that life with the living God. And I am the very life that brings the dead to life. I take the spiritually dead. They have no connection to the living God. And I give them life. But it only happens through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 10 of John, verses 7 through 10, Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you. He's arguing with Pharisees again. I am the gate for the sheep. So now he's the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we see Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the gate, that those who try to get to God without going through me are thieves and robbers. All the religious Jews before me that, and I mean, it was all about how, I mean, they would walk around in their garb and they thought they were better than themselves. They misread the first five books, the Torah. They misread it when it says, be kind to others. You know, that kindness was important. They wouldn't even touch somebody that was sick. If you were sick or you had some condition with your skin, you were unclean. Get out of the city. Get away from me. Ew. They were thieves and robbers. It was their job to be the light to the world, to draw them to God. And they made it all about themselves. So this is Jesus going, they're thieves and robbers. I am the gate. And every person who comes through me to God will find pasture, meaning you will find peace. You will find peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what is so powerful about Jesus and his preaching and the truth, the fact that it is the truth, because I know from experience that I have peace that is independent of my circumstances. I have peace and joy that are not regulated by my bank account. I have peace and joy that it's not regulated whether I'm going through a good time or a hard time. It's the peace that you can only get from God, knowing in your heart, because you've wrestled with him, man. If you wrestle with God, good for you, because that means you're in an intimate relationship with him. You're not taking other people's beliefs. You're wrestling with him, man. I want to know you, and I'm not letting go till you bless me. So good for you. Keep wrestling. Keep seeking him. Because what you will find through all of that is him. And when you know, God, you are with me. No devil in hell, no man on earth can knock you off that rock. And that's where we want to be. That's where we're safe. We're in the sheep pen through the gate with the good shepherd and all. My, what a transition. In verse 14, he goes right from the gate to this. I am the good shepherd. So not only is he the gate, but he's the shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. Look, he's pr- prophesying. He's telling the future. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So our shepherd has gone before us. We sang about it today. My strong tower, you've gone before us. Something like that, right? You go before us. It's true. He has gone before us. Like a good shepherd, he is ahead. He knows the future. He knows everything about our past. He knows exactly what you and I are going through now. He knows exactly what's in our hearts right now. He's a good shepherd who laid down his life to show us the way to go. He shows us, come on, come on guys, listen to my voice. This is the way we're going. And this is what, this is why it's so important to get into the word. Because his voice is in here. God can speak to you not just through the word. He can speak to your heart. He's spoken to me, man. When he speaks, you're like, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. But we get to know his voice, the sound of his voice through his word. Because when God speaks to you, it'll never contradict what he's spoken through the prophets and the apostles. It'll never contradict his word that he's given us. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't lie. He doesn't confuse. That's why he's laid it out for us. And I'm so proud of the guys in Operation Timothy. And I'm proud of the ladies that are doing our new women's discipleship program. Because you get to know his voice. Amen. Hallelujah. We got one clap. No. It's true though. It's beautiful. I know. But it's true. And that's where that, the peace, because you know, you've gone from, well, I want to believe, because let's be honest. I think we've all been there, or you're there right now. I do want to believe. I want to believe this is true and this isn't just another religious thing that kind of makes your life better if you do the do. Because I think that we all naturally go through that. But the more that I know God, the more that I exercise that faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, you said, you never leave me nor forsake me. You said, if you be before me, who could be against me? And we walk through life because it takes that engagement. It takes experience to build faith. Otherwise, it's a theory, right? Like, I do believe, but when you walk through the fire and come out the other side and you see and you know that God not only has been with you in the fire, but he has delivered you. And you are stronger and your faith is bolder and you have more compassion and I made it. And there you are, always with me. That builds faith. That's when you go, oh yeah, he's real, all right. I've seen him move. I've seen miracles. I've seen it. Nobody can talk me out of my faith. That's where we want to be. Jesus is our shepherd, completely dedicated to guide us and keep us. He laid down his life for us and is the first one into the resurrected life. We like sheep had gone astray, but our good shepherd traded his life for ours. So we in obedience deny our own life and live for him, knowing he has gone before us. There's that crux of Christian faith, that I'm not promised, anything that ministers to my flesh. In fact, if I want to see life, Chris Jones has to die. If I want to really see life, then my ego, my pride has to jump up on that cross and die like my Lord and Savior. When that happens, though, I see life. Let's go to the next one. I'm stoked about that, everybody graduating, but it did eat up a lot of our time. Chapter 15, verses 5 through 11. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch that... if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There's that promise of a supernatural joy. So it says that if we do not remain in him, that means, like, let me give you a prime example. You come to church on Sunday, you get your cup filled, and then it's all about you from Monday to Saturday. You're just doing life. It's not that Jesus breaks you off himself and throws you away. He's saying it's like a branch that has been broken off the vine. Jesus is the vine. He gives the nutrients. He's the one who pours. It's the word that renews the mind. He regenerates the heart. He gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. And when we go, nah, you know, I don't really like to read my Bible. There's Netflix. It's just got so many series and 5 or 6 seasons, you know, that I really need to catch up on. There is an intentionality that is our part, that it's, we have free will. How we spend our time is up to us. And so when I intentionally take my life and I don't just read the Bible, I do a lot of things, you know, fun things. But I'm intentionally in the word. Why? Because I need the nutrients from the vine. I do not want to be dry and have Chris Jones's ugly ego rear its head. Rah! What about me? You know? But I have to stay on the vine. Jesus is saying, I am in the vine. And if you remain in me, and that I will remain in you, and you'll know my Father's love. You will know the love, the agape, that, listen, when those thoughts of condemnation and guilt and you're not and you're dead or you're this and you're that, the love of God quenches all of that. If you struggle with self-esteem, do you struggle with anxiety? Seek God. Stay connected to the vine. Eat from the purity of the word of God that will give you strength to know I have authority over those thoughts. That I'm a child of God, and I don't say that in a prideful way like I did anything. I say it with power because I am his child. And he gives me the authority. It's his word in me that I speak to those things. I don't have anything good, right? To speak to those, the childhood traumas. The stuff that messes with you that's deep down. God can heal you. God can heal you from all of that. And he will. You stay connected to the vine and things begin to heal inside of us that have been messing with us our whole life. Hallelujah. It's obedience to his word too. That's remaining on the vine. Remaining in him is choosing to obey the word over what I think, over what my feelings think. You know, I was talking to somebody who needs to forgive, and I was telling her, you pray for that person and you ask God, you say, God, look, I forgive them. Help my feelings line up with what I'm praying to you right now. Because I don't feel like I forgive them, but you told me to forgive them. So I forgive them. Help me line up with the truth. You pray that until your feelings change, because I'm telling you, they will. I know from experience. I'm not telling you a theory. I'm telling you life experience. That word for joy is chara. And I just wanted to read the definition because it's so rich. A deep feeling of inner gladness, assurance, confidence, and contentment, independent of circumstances. That is solid. That is something you can't put a price on, guys. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm assured. I'm glad. I'm confident in my God. And I'm content. I'm okay. I'm okay. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Here is another beautiful reality that he is the light of the world. Do you know? And Ricky, I'm going to use you as an example. Pastor's kid, you're in a sermon. watching what God's done to you has been one of the greatest joys of my life. Like watching you, the light you carry now is God. Like you're born again. I tell everybody, man, she is born again on fire for Jesus. And it's been, cause I've watched her struggle. I've watched her deal with anxiety. I've watched her deal with all kinds of stuff. And there is light now. God, Jesus is the light of the world. You know, we can all look on our phones or just look out there and go, ooh, this world is dark. And it is. But when you walk in the light of God, it's different. I'm not tripping on what's going on out there. I'm not tripping on who's in the White House. Because God's on the throne. And different people will hold those positions. Now I vote. I'm responsible. Okay. But I'm not tripping. There's a lot of people who are tripping. And I was one of those, by the way. I jumped down the rabbit hole deep a few years back. But you know what I found? I was angry. I had anxiety. And so what if I know what they're doing? Because nothing's happening. I could, and God spoke to me and said, if you put that kind of time into reading my word, watch what I'll do. I go, you're right. So now I don't even, I'm off that merry-go-round. I'd rather stay in the light because we are here for a purpose, on purpose. We have a mission. You might feel insignificant, but you're not. You're not. There's people in your life that are struggling at the office, in your family. There's people in your life that need the light, that need that encouraging word from you, that need that wisdom that God will give you. And when you say it, you'd be like, wow, that was good. I can't believe I just said that. You ever done that? I totally have. Like, wow, Lord. Woo. It's the light. We have been illuminated by in the light of God. We can change the temperature of a room when we stand in it. So let's go to the last one. That's probably the last one I'll get to today. Maybe one more. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 and people are following him everywhere because he's manifested all this food out of, you know, a couple fish and some bread. Verse 35, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. He is talking about something more than just physical hunger and physical thirst. Spiritually, we will always be fed. That he will always make sure that our thirst and our hunger for the truth, for that peace, the wisdom of God, we will never go without. He is faithful to provide in the moment. You just open your mouth, God will provide. You just put your faith in, oh, I'm worried about this, Lord, but I'm praying to you. I give it to you. I'm literally, whatever happens, happens, God. When you have that kind of faith, I don't know what's going to happen, but I give this to you. And glory be your name. Glory to the Lord. No matter what happens, God, I will worship you. In fact, I worship you even if my feelings don't feel like it because I'm sad or I'm scared and I'm just choosing to worship you in this moment and acknowledge that you are the God of heaven and earth. You are the God of the universe who provides for his kids. So I activate that kind of faith now in the middle of my storm, in the middle of the fire. And watch your whole perception of whatever you're going through change. Hallelujah. And by the way, if you call his place your home, there's no reason why you should ever physically go hungry or thirsty either. We are God's kids. God provides. We will help you out. And if you need help, you just come ask us. We got you. We got you. That's it. That's from him. Okay, last one. If I go a couple minutes over, it ain't my fault, Keith. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, and this is, Jesus is speaking to Martha before raising Lazarus. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So this is a rad statement right there. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. That is we will truly experience life and life to the fullest if we trade our life for His. I have to die to live. I have to die to truly live in this life. And I will eventually die, yes, but not my spirit. Because whoever is believing in Jesus Christ will never die. When we pass from this life to the next, we merely step into glory. It's a transition. It's a beautiful transition. And I understand if you're still afraid to die, I get it, but you shouldn't be. It should be something that you welcome. Like it's all in your timing, God. The only reason why I'm here right now is because God wanted me here. I'll tell you that, because I should have been dead a long time ago. A few times over. Amen. I know there's people that can relate to that in this room. But it's true. He holds your breath in His hands. You will not die 1 second before God allows you to come home. And see, it's sad for us that are here. And we can think, and we do think it's tragic. And that's totally normal for human beings. Death is like a ripping away from us. It's sad. But for them, it's the best day ever. They're in glory, finally, free, eternally free in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're safe in Jesus. We believe in Him and we find life even though we die to ourselves. And by doing this, we will live forever with eternity with Him in glory. Do you believe this? Because I want you to leave here today with a little more faith than you had when you walked in. That you remember that He's your good shepherd. He is the gate. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life and laid it down for you and I. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate, because a king has come. So I don't want to end this without giving everybody an opportunity. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. I mean, salvation has come. I don't want you to leave here today without knowing that you're one of His. And we say a prayer here, and it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your heart surrendering to God. It's His job to regenerate your heart. It's His job to bring you in. But we just want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Or maybe you have, you've walked with God before, but you know you've fallen away. And today you just want to rededicate your life to Him. I want to give you an opportunity to do that, because Jesus is waiting with open arms. He wants you back if you've fallen away, if you've been led astray. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you've backslidden and want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and we'll pray today. Amen. 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 I see your hands. Hallelujah. So church, will you help us out? This is a profession of prayer. We're going to pray this together. Father God in heaven, thank You for Your Son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I ask You to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask You to fill me with Your Holy Spirit and make Your Word come alive. I thank You for Your forgiveness, and I turn from my sin. I turn to You. Today, I am Yours and You are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, shine Your face upon Your people as they go. Lord, thank you for always going before us, for keeping us. Give them the supernatural peace and joy that only you can give. Pray a blessing over them as they go, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Invite somebody to Christmas Eve service. See you guys.